Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This episode is sponsored by Mudstack. Mudstack is the only asset management and collaboration platform custom built for game studios and digital artists. So level up your game art and your art game with Mudstack. Are you frustrated with convoluted folder hierarchies and naming conventions that make finding assets a pain? Do you hate using version control software that was built for software engineers instead of you, an artist? Are you also annoyed with late feedback that forces you to throw away hours and hours of work? We all been there. Finally, there's a solution built for you, the artist. Mudstack is the only digital asset management, version control, and review platform custom built for artists and game studios. Get started for free in just a few minutes at mudstack.com. That's mudstack.com. Hey, guys, here's the deal. This podcast is sponsored by Manscaped. Manscaped is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming champions of the world. They offer precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. When I was a kid, I thought it was weird and it was embarrassing that I was doing maintenance down there. And in a long time, I felt like I had to hide the fact that things were getting a bit hairy. But now I am glad I live in the world that Manscaped is widely being celebrated as a way for us men to kind of get ourselves in check, be organized, and be our best self down there. So right now, Manscaped has just launched their fourth generation trimmer, the Lawnmower 4.0. So imagine shaving with a super sleek, well-designed, and optimized trimmer that makes shaving time your favorite time in the bathroom. I went for a trial run and it was refreshing. And your spouse and partner can only be jumping with joy knowing that you are taking care of yourself and in turn taking care of your partner or spouse. What's cool about the trimmer, it has a 4000K LED light that you can turn on when in use to help you navigate down that jungle of yours and make sure that you're getting it in all in the right places and crevices. Additional guards so that you can get the perfect length from your trimmer. Some people, like myself, just like a little maintenance, all right, a little off the top. And others, probably Ray, would probably go all the way down to the skin level, which is completely fine. It's whatever your preferences are. So there's different sizes for guard lengths that is available for the Lawnmower 4.0. So guys, do yourself a favor. Stop trimming with the same trimmer that you use in your face as for your balls. Hygienically, disgusting. Ethically, I get it. If it's something that you've been wanting to try, now's your chance to do it. You can get 20% off plus free shipping by using the code GDU at manscaped.com. Again, it's manscaped.com. Get 20% off and be a better you with the code GDU. Your balls will thank you. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Game Dev Unchained, the number one game development podcast about game development and the life thereof. And I am your host, Brandon Phantom. Of course, it is that time of the month at Roundtable News episode with Ray Graham. How are you doing, Ray?
Doing good, man. How you doing? What's up?
It's been a while, man.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
Yeah, as always, it's one of those points that we get together as game developers around the game dev campfire to talk about the spooky game dev stories that's been kind of popping up this past month that is making an impact on the industry. And just to remind everyone, as always, these are opinions of our own and does not represent companies that we work for. So stop trying to cancel us. All right. All right, now let's go right to it, dude. So since we've spoken, and I kind of want to put this to rest really quickly, right? Yeah. We talked about how, you know, Epic and Apple took a little longer than we anticipated. I think of last year, you kind of made like this this date prophecy of saying December 2020 will be all over and we'll be laughing about it. And Tim Sweeney will be leaving with his tails between his legs, thinking that he can go against Apple. More than almost a year later, right? We're at October, where this is kind of finally concluding with Apple walking away with sort of a slap in the wrist, but Epic overall not happy with the decision and is still kind of coming at it, right? So that's not to say that the impact has not been felt. With that, Apple, I believe, is now being a lot more flexible in terms of their cut, right? Like now it's 15% versus 30, and the in currency for a lot of these apps are being allowed now, which definitely takes a hit over their bottom line at Apple, right? So there has been a lot of wins in terms of development. But of course, Epic is still not happy because in the end, they did openly violated, you know, the terms of agreement between the two. And then I believe from what I read and it is openly shared, they ended up having to pay $6 million, which is nothing, peanuts, right? And additionally, because of the violation, they are not permitted to be in the Apple store for 5 years or so. So they're completely banned at least for 5 years, which is the exact number. Yeah, this is breaking news. Yeah. So there, Fortnite is not able to be on the App Store for 5 years. And this is actually really being carried through. Yeah. Pretty cool stuff. So just wanted not, you know, of course we spend a lot of roundtable news dedicated to this. I'm glad to say this is hopefully the last of it. Any last thoughts before we move on to the main meat of this episode's main topic?
I mean, yeah, like my grand prediction for back of the day is clearly been proving partly wrong, I guess. Yeah. Where, you know, Apple did win a lot of what they were being sued about.
Yeah.
But then they also lost out on, like, you know, allowing other payment methods onto the store, right? So I think that alone, like allowing for other payment methods is a pretty good win. Although I think Apple is appealing that, right? Like they're going back to court, and Epic is also appealing it. Like there's all sorts of, I think there's dual appeals going on, right? So like I don't think we're going to see this die off quite yet.
Right.
And you said banned for 5 years. I thought it was just like Fortnite. It was banned as long as the appeal process is still going on.
No, I'll look this up right now. But I saw something where Fortnite is not allowed on the App Store for 5 years because of the open violation. And the court respected that. Yes, there was a legal contract that was openly broken by Epic to kind of prove a point, and it's like you can't do that. At the same time, and while I'm looking this up, you know, Google, we thought was out of this picture long ago, but they came back with a lawsuit of their own. They're countersuing Epic for basically just doing the same thing, right? And realizing that, hey, you know, Apple did have like a strong stance, and therefore we want our payment as well, right? Let's see. Refuses to reinstate Fortnite despite South Korea. Let me look this up while we would do this.
Yeah, because like what I heard, it was like as long as the appeals process may take up to 5 years to complete,
Right.
And as long as the appeal is going on, Fortnite is going to be banned.
Like maybe that's, you that, are
that is
on that.
That is what I heard, right? So it's not necessarily 5 years, but it's the appeal. As long as the appeal process is going on, Apple will keep it off the store.
All right. Well, listeners, confirm that while we move on to the next subject. But like the main thing is here
I see it here in BBC News.
There we go. There we confirmed it. Until the appeal process is done, Fortnite cannot be on the Apple Store. Along with the case, there was a lot of information, I think, that was usually not public that was shared that I think overall helps the game industry, right? We know now, in fact, that the App Store is alone. Apple not making games have made it one of the most powerful game company out of all the top tier guys combined. We're talking about Microsoft, Sony, Take-Two or whatever the top tiers are combined in terms of yearly game sales.
But we knew that already, right?
Yeah, but it's kind of still big news, I think,
we've been knowing that for years. And the AAA, and when I say years, I probably more mean decades, right? Like the AAA devs are always like, oh, mobile games, yeah, whatever. Like we're over here selling our, you know, $20 million, $40 million, $50 million
being happy
revenue,
about it,
review games and being happy about it. Meanwhile, these games like on mobile are pulling in billions of dollars a year, right? Like Apple's been like, when it comes to revenue and sales, like mobile's been eating every segment's lunch for a while, right?
So like in terms of business model,
and if App Store is taking 30% of all of that, right? Like then I think it stands to reason that they're making money hand over fist, you know what I mean?
Which is one of the reasons why they are fighting so hard to keep it that way. There's no way around it. You know, 2020 was a big year for Apple because of the pandemic. And now they're going to have this big gap in their financial quarterlies that, you know, it's going to take a while to fill because of suddenly it's 15% and now in-game currency is being allowed and they're not going to see any profits from that.
I mean, like, honestly, yeah, profits going to go down maybe, but the profits the profits are already so ridiculous that like Apple could more than afford to reduce their cut 15% across the board and just call
The stock market, like, you know, appreciate that, right? They just see it as down being down, right?
Sure.
Which is one of the reasons why Netflix is always in trouble. It's like, whoa.
But also Apple goes out of its way to not actually release all of the numbers. They kind of just roll it up into subcategory and say, hey, you know, so maybe other parts of the business can make up for it.
I'm sure Apple will be just fine and they'll figure it out. But one of the main reasons why I want to just kind of conclude that is because we've talked for a long time, but it actually leads into kind of the theme of this episode where we're mostly talking about tech giants taking over the game industry. And it should be no surprise. It's been kind of rolling in for a while. You know, we're talking to a person such as yourself that's kind of been in and out, right, in tech companies and back and forth. And I know a lot of friends who have been in the industry a long time are basically finding refuge in these tech giants that have basically retired from AAA, have gone to Facebook, to Google, or whatever.
Refuge.
They want to have, you know, stable lifestyles with ridiculously high income and stock options. So they have found refuge in a very nice, comfy refugee camp of Facebook, right? So that brings to me, since the last time we talked, for a long time, we have made fun of Amazon for a long, long time. And you were always in the camp of saying it was only a matter of time that Amazon will figure out its footing as long as they keep trying, right? Something that, you know, Google can't really say.
I don't even remember saying
that. I think a long time ago, we both agreed around the table that because Amazon has so much source of income and they're so stubborn, right?
Yeah.
Where they have put so much money into the game industry and have not shown any signs of quitting. In times when me and you are like, dude, you just got to throw in the towel at this point. You're not going to understand. It takes a while. Mm. And they just truck through it. And now they finally have a hit, right? Sort of a hit, at least to a point where someone's actually talking about it. I see influencers talking about it. I see some kind of interest. And I also think the timing of it and the theme of the game, New World, is actually very fitting. And that's, you know, the combination of like things that you can't plan. I think it has helped the game kind of flourish as of late. So I haven't played it. You haven't played it. But
the only thing I know, PC Gamer rated it a 60. That's all I know.
Out of 65. It looks like it. This is what I truly believe. I don't think it's like the number one rated game.
Yeah, on Steam, it's like mostly positive ratings, and like on Metacritic, it's 75, right? But the user score on Metacritic is 4.4. So like, I don't know. It seems like, and also like when I look at it, every time I see an image of it.
Yeah,
I just immediately get bored and just want to like just go to the next image. I'm not interested at all in anything I see.
Well, let me pull this up. We were talking about WoW, and for some reason you have like this memory of WoW being always WoW.
I did not say that.
and I always thought of it as ugly. And then somewhat, you know, they made it their own, right? Give them some credit. Let's see.
It depends on what you call ugly, right? Because I don't think Blizzard has bad artists, period.
Of course
not. I don't think there's a bad artist in the bunch, right? So like, what is ugly? Like what is the criteria that you're using here, right?
I wouldn't play the game because it's so ugly. That's the criteria. That's how
there's no normal maps. I can't play this. I mean, like, that's not a proper criteria, right? Like,
sure.
There's more graphics and looks.
I will say this, you know, they made it a style and it was very definitive. And I think it helped kind of find a lot of their games that isn't WoW afterwards, right?
They adhered to the style. You know what I mean? Yeah. They adhered to the style, and that's why I think That's why I think it's stylistically is a good game, right? It's low poly, it's flat, like, you know, but it's good. Like it looked good. It looked good for the time, right? It wasn't the most high end, but it looked consistent and well put together.
Right.
Like I can't hate on WoW for that.
Right. All I'm trying to say by kind of talking about WoW is that you know, if New World does last longer than, you know, this month, they'll have the time to increase their art capacity, right?
I see some I'm looking at some screenshots of it right now, and it looks, you know, it definitely looks better than WoW did back in the day.
But, you know, honestly, it's okay because
it's still boring. It's still boring.
Like for me, most MMO games, the measuring stick is so low, right? Like out of the gate, I think it already looks better than most Bethesda games. Those games do really well, right? So that's my measuring stick of like, okay, there's a chance here.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
But my main thing with New World is that because of the pandemic, because people were in solitude and self-isolation for a year, the timing of this and all the games that have been doing well, like that Viking game, And now this Valheim and then this, right? It's a chance to people to connect, and people are like hungry for it. And we're not completely out of it, obviously, at the pandemic. We're crawling sort of out. It feels like it, but we're not there yet. And there is like this weird, I don't know if you feel it, man. Like, I feel it sometimes, like this weird depression of like just not knowing what's going on, really. Like, it doesn't feel real, you know? And I think a lot of people are kind of going through this still and finding kind of avenues like New World to kind of feel normalized again. And the timing's, I think it's has been helping the game kind of.
I don't know if during a time where we're all cooped up inside, that gravitating towards playing an MMO that will encourage you to stay cooped up inside is what people are craving, right?
Well, like, that's what gamers are. to them, it's good enough.
I mean, like for me, I've been like, you know, I've been trying to like get out more and see people in smaller groups, you know, these things. Like last thing I want to do is be at a computer when I'm at a computer all day, every day. The same room, you know what I mean?
We're like, just at that age, man. But there's a lot of people that I find it myself, like I'm not that into gaming as much as I used to. I do it mostly for motivation to create things now as my way of doing it. I still enjoy games, obviously, but like my drive of like, if I were to pick and choose because of the pandemic, I would, like you said, try to congregate with friends and socialize, because I was missing that basically for a whole year. But I do feel like the equivalent of that to a lot of younger folks have been these type of, to them, this is the same, just connecting online and talking.
I don't know. I think even the most introverts would be tired of being at home at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it is a pushing a limit, but it's this game, like I never play MMO, right? But now I'm starting to see the appeal of it because of the social aspect of go raiding, and this game is fine. I mean, at least it's not like to a point where I'm sure there are bugs, right? I'm sure I read a lot of bugs, but like it's playable to a point where it's enjoyable and not so. So taxing. The graphics not great, but it's not that bad. You know what I mean? It's not like workable.
I mean, like, social games are always going to be a good thing, right? Because people just want to be sociable, period, right? Like, it turns out like multiplayer games and social games do better than not the others that are not social or multiplayer, right?
Because especially now,
gravitate towards that. Some people hate that, right? But like, I think the numbers tell us, you know, a lot of people play social games, right? So that's always a good bet, right? But so I don't know. I don't know if it's just pandemic or anything like that, but I don't know why this game's getting like, because I see reviews that are kind of like lukewarm on it.
Yeah.
But then it's not a complete flop, I guess, because everything's like lukewarm. It's not like a raging success
either. Yeah. Like, because of what has happened this past year, multiple game delays, and I'm sure there was a whole slate of games that were supposed to be released originally this year from 2 years ago are pushed back. There's this huge gap, right, of these type of games. Like, what other MMO can we really name the past year and a half?
I mean, what MMO can you name in the last 5 years?
Exactly, right? So this is coming at such a perfect time. And in terms of marketing and whatever, you know, I've always thought because they're Amazon, you know, this is going to be easily on the front page of Twitch without any effort. And because of past games, they haven't done that. And this legitimately is being covered by a lot of influencers and streamers on their own, gives it at least a little more credence of like, oh, there might be something here. Which I respect, right? They didn't force it down our throats. And when I watch it,
I watch this video right now and I'm bored to tears already.
But this is to me what MMO is. But like, you know, you're playing with your friends and you're on an adventure. Like, what other games are there that can do this? I mean, this is what Epic, this is what Facebook, this is what all the major companies are trying to go towards a metaverse, right? Which I am looking forward to playing and looking forward to them figuring that out. Which leads me to...
Are you really looking forward to people figuring that out?
Honestly, I would love a mega game. A mega game that is kind of like towards what Second Life was. I think there is way too much right now. There's way too much content, right? And I would love the fact that there's one hierarchy that encompasses and organizes that and gives everyone a little bit more of a chance. Like the idea of a metaverse that is able to be that breaks all barriers of what a mobile game and what a AAA game, which is the main thing I feel. Like what you mentioned before, the AAA games are patting on themselves on the back for selling 20 million copies and such, while the mobile games kind of like have the real numbers and championing what really success looks like. Yeah. And I feel like game developers all over are pretty much segregated at this point on through ego or through what they're working on. And there isn't like a singular voice, right? So I think with Metaverse, hopefully it doesn't completely just water down all the variety that we can give, but it'll be kind of nice, I think, an organized thing that everybody can enjoy and join and play if they want to.
But right? But that's not what's happening though, right? Like Facebook's
not at first. Not at
Facebook's going to do its thing. Epic's going to do its thing. They're not going to talk to each other, right?
Of course not.
They want to own. These are going to be separate walled gardens, right?
Sure, but they're always going to be a number one and number two, right? So when I watch Ready Player One, that idea excites me. Like it would be really cool. I love the idea of Ready Player One, man. Not the whole like evil corporation,
dystopian corporation, like owning your life. Okay, yeah, cool.
Hey, man. I mean, that's where we're heading. I mean, I always say all this made by Unity, made by Unreal is going to be the Matrix, right? That's where we're going. In the end, there will be one ultimate game that everybody will.
I don't think so. Like, I don't think it will be that. Like
cause, singularity, you know, dude.
when people talk about the metaverse, though, they usually talk about like the next internet. Right? And what is the internet? It is a bunch of decentralized things, right? Where that can talk to each other. And you could kind of float from world to world on the internet, right? Like one minute you're in Facebook, the next minute you're in Gmail. And you could do work. You could also play games. You could also do stupid stuff and talk to people, right? So see the next evolution of that, but knowing how Facebook, Apple, Microsoft, all these people are with like, here's my platform and here's my walled garden. I don't want to see it turn into something where it is literally like kind of what's going on with like TV and movie streaming. I'm over here in my world and here's the content that I provide and you can only get it here. Right. And then over here in Facebook land, you can only get this content over here because these are the people that I'm dealing with. Right. I'm more interested in seeing people come up with a way of being able to share a common protocol that these things could all be shared across different systems. Right.
Yeah.
To make something, make it truly interconnected. You know?
Yeah. I mean, what to me, the metaverse is kind of what you're saying. It really is just an emulation of real life, but more instantaneous, right? The idea of just being able to jump around without having to jump on a plane and do something. It's just like a click of a button. It is the next idea of the internet. And if we're just saying Epic versus Facebook, we kind of have an idea of what their metaverse looks like, where Facebook is more like commercial, like enterprise-y. And Epic is going to be more gamer-ish. And more what I think Ready Player One would look like, right? So everyone's going to have a bit of their flavor and people can pick and choose. But I am excited at the idea that, well, here's the thing, right? We're not talking, Epic is, I guess, the only gaming force at this point that is the closest to, in my idea of achieving a metaverse.
Is it?
I think so. In terms of a game,
I think
game company.
I think saying that
Rockstar.
I think
who else?
I think saying that and completely ignoring Roblox is a big mistake.
I don't see Roblox. Okay, Roblox is huge.
You don't, huh? All
right. Roblox is huge. But the same way, how WoW was ugly to me.
Here's the thing. No, actually, I'm gonna push back on this bit.
All right, push it.
Because Roblox does look bad, right? There are, like, on the low end devices, Roblox looks terrible. But there's also some high end Roblox maps that look amazing, right? And I was even surprised when I saw them. I was like, word? Like, with like per pixel lighting and everything and shadows and normal maps. I'm like, what's going on here, right? Like,
I could pull this madness.
Like, there's because it's and I was also at a conference where they talked about their rendering engine and all the different things they do, and it definitely can support very high fidelity stuff, but of course a lot of the people that use Roblox these days have like low-end computers, right? So it has to be scalable. But like, yeah, Roblox could scale all the way down to really crappy looking mobile, all the way up to, like, you know, per pixel lighting and some stuff that looks pretty decent. You know what I mean? So like, I would not count it out. Right. And then there's also,
is this Core. Roblox right here? Is that what you're saying?
I mean, that's probably the best looking Roblox thing you've seen ever.
It is
you, right? Like, right. So, and I'm telling you, I saw something that looked better than this even. Right. So, and then
there's, well, I will Core. Say this in terms of what do they call this type of game, creator content, UGC, right? Yeah. They are the closest. I mean, we hear the Unreal version of it. That's kind of been
core from Manticore, right?
Yeah. So, when Manticore trying to achieve the same thing, Roblox is the furthest in terms of owning the space. Epic doesn't have anything like this. What they're doing is just Fortnite is the closest, but not really, right? It's not creative content.
No, well, they're doing like Fortnite Studio, right? So like Fortnite Studio is going to be the user generated content portion of that. Yeah. And like every day I'm hearing of some new crossover with Fortnite, right? LeBron is in Fortnite. Dune, they have Dune in Fortnite now. And then also, what was the big thing that I was just shaking my head at? Oh yeah, it was Balenciaga.
What's that?
Right, they're in a partnership with Balenciaga to have like virtual clothes in Fortnite, right?
Okay.
So they're doing all this cross pollination and cross promotion, which is like, you know, you're talking about Ready Player One. That's kind of what it's about, right? All these different IPs in this virtual world. They're totally building up Fortnite to try to beat that. Do in game concerts, you know, like all of that, like it's clear that's what they're trying to do with Fortnite, right?
This episode is sponsored by Mudstack. For all the artists out there that are working within a game studio, big or small, you're going to need a great collaboration platform custom built for the digital artist. That's where Mudstack comes into play. It's a special version control review platform custom built for individual artists, whereas other source control feels like it's being built for software engineers. Mudstack is geared towards artists so that collaboration gets even easier, and the only thing you need to concentrate is on your game itself and not the software. So do yourself a favor, go to the solution built just for you, the artist, and get started for free in just a few minutes at mudstack.com. That's mudstack.com. Yeah, I mean, it's very interesting because Roblox
looking good. Look at that Roblox looking good. You're shocked. You're shocked by what you're seeing.
Roblox came out of left field. I see it with a bunch of kids playing it, and I was like, why are you guys liking this so much? And they like the idea of being able to, you know, user generated stuff and be able to play with their friends off of something they created. It was a very cool concept, and I do admit it's like it's late digital Legos, babe. And this was like long before any of these companies started piling on and playing copycat, before realizing it was a real big industry that was growing. Now we have a lot more choices, a little more. Yes, Fortnite's doing a lot of things to kind of diversify than just being a battle royale game, which to a certain degree, pretty successful. A lot of commercials, movies that are hot, you know, immediately go to Fortnite as the game, right? That is one edge that I don't think Roblox has, you know, commercially. They don't, no one's going to Roblox and trying to make a Roblox Thanos.
Didn't they have a Lego collaboration or also a Nerf collaboration? Like, they're getting some IPs in there too, you know, but of course it's gonna be more because their main user base is children. Right, it's gonna be more geared towards kids, right? But like, I could see Roblox try to explore.
Well, the kids are gonna grow up, right? And then
exactly,
it's gonna be a Justin Bieber effect, right? So I don't doubt that. What I'm trying to look for is like, yes, this is a dawn of a new decade. 2020 didn't count, right? 2021 is probably let's just start with 2021. A lot of the pioneers. And a lot of people that were looking to lead the industry in this new decade, to me, the ones with the most power are kind of like these tech giants, right? So we were mentioning Amazon finally making its mark. You know, it's not a big hit. It's not like critically praised as one would hope, but they finally have something that are that is making waves, right? Which is huge for them, and they can build off of that really quickly with the money and resources that they've built. Facebook with VR and their hopes of making a metaverse, and with the recent scandal that is kind of like a blip in all things. Well, I mean, their stock is taking a plummet, sure, but like in terms of, I think they're going to bounce back, right?
Well, they're going to bounce back because they're going to like rename the company, right?
Rebrand, right?
Right, which is like so shady. But
it's shady, but the timing is right. I mean, Facebook is so much more than just Facebook now.
It's sure,
so
many but it's clearly not like a planned. When you decide, hey, let's rebrand the company and try to like get the stink off, right? Yeah, of course, it's like, oh, we're rebranding because we want it to more closely match what we're doing with the metaverse. Sure. But also like it will also help people like kind of forget the Facebook name being attached to the election and all that kind of craziness, right? So
it's long overdue. Yeah. I mean, they have so many softwares now and the you know, Facebook itself, its main meat of the potatoes, which is obviously generating still a lot of money. It's not cool to be on Facebook anymore. No one, business wise, they kind of turn people away from it. Socially, it's hard to kind of keep up with people for what it was originally for. Mm-hmm. I mean, at a certain point, I do believe that they're going to figure out the essence of Facebook again and be able to kind of, they still have that Trump card, right, in the back pocket to kind of like fix Facebook. I really do feel they can still do that. Yeah. Pun unintended.
Yeah, but, no pun intended.
But like overall, yes, we have TikTok now and Instagram, but there is no Facebook equivalent. There's no MySpace, no competitor. I still go to Facebook to kind of still catch up with people.
But you old though. You old though. Like the
kids, I am old, and I think like youngsters, it's a huge TikTok, problem. But as soon as they just go back to its bare minimum of what it used to be, I think they can still win a lot of people back. Right? The idea of it's still good.
I don't think it's that. Like they need to pivot to the next thing. Which is what they think it's
which is VR, that, right? So like the VR world, thing is exciting.
VR, AR, VR, metaverse. Yeah, that's right. What they're trying to do, right?
Which is smart, which is I think out of the, because let's face it, right? This is the problem that I see with this new decade and what has been shown with Sony, Microsoft, yada, yada, yada. you know, when we look at Rockstar and look forward to news, it's like, we did it again, guys. We're going to re-release a remastered version of GTA 5. And they're going to do that for the next 10 years, and they're going to be just fine, right? That's
GTA 5 money, man.
Yeah. Yeah, it's printing money. But again, it's stunting evolution of games because of them doing that. They're so... The AAA have scared themselves into a corner where they're so afraid of taking chances now that they're letting these tech giants be the one that take the chances. And in a lot of ways, they're giving up control of where our industry is leading, going, right?
Like, I don't think, like, okay, in general, I don't think the tech giants are necessarily taking over. Necessarily,
I think they're taking over, man. Well, think about it, where are all our veteran friends going?
Well,
who have the most knowledge?
No, there's a reason for this, though. Like, that's what I'm saying. It's not necessarily that, yeah. Right? It's basically the tech giants are making platforms, right? They're selling shovels and doing things like that. Like, they're like, hey, do you want to make an experience? I want to make the place where you can host your experience. I'm going to make the tools so that you can build your experience. I still need creators that are nimble and small and innovative to make something cool that can be on my platform. Yeah. All I have is a bunch of money, right? And I need experienced people that have experience in gaming and stuff. Yeah. And I can promise you a 9-to-5 job with stock and yeah. with more base salary than you yeah. can get at any video game company.
Yeah.
And you're telling me our friends, yes, we are old, right? We're yeah. getting older. And so our friends are like, wait, I have kids that need to go to college.
Yeah. I don't blame them.
Right, like
I agree.
Of course, I'm gonna, and it's gonna be less stress, and I don't yes. have to work, and I don't have to work 7 days a week. Are you what? Like, yeah. of course, you did.
It's not hit driven, right? It's all this yeah. stuff. I get yeah, it. Yeah. I totally
you're
get
more stable. You're not gonna get. Laid
I'm not off, arguing like, the fact. I'm happy that my friends have woken up.
Yeah.
Stop drinking the Kool-Aid and are taking care of themselves and getting paid for experience that are super yeah. valuable, that yeah. produce billions of dollars for companies that they work for, right? I yeah. am so happy that this avenue opened up for seasoned developers, because for a while I was kind of scared. I was like, where is this all leading to?
With, yeah, and I'll just point out.
Shutting down, yeah.
And I'll just point out, like, when it comes down to, like, the stuff I do, like, graphics, 3D graphics, right? More and more 3D graphics is being used in many different types of things.
Yeah.
And so like the companies that need somebody that has 3D graphics experience is just growing and growing and growing. And it's not just something that you do for games
yeah.
these days, right? Yeah. I would say for some other disciplines in the video game industry, it's way harder.
Yeah.
Right. Like if you're like a texture artist on a AAA team, like you might not be able to get a job on Facebook. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or you might be able to get a job on Facebook, but there's like a few content roles yeah. to make content. Right. And I still think that there's a lot of people out there that still just want to make video games and love making sure. video games and love production and want to make something and be on a big product with a big team and make something cool, right? And so, yeah. like, not everybody's
going to be fun. They're usually what I call single people. that have no,
I want no responsibility
outside of themselves. Yeah,
I literally want to prove you wrong, and I cannot.
because my instincts are correct.
Everybody I know that is in that camp, or not everybody, but a lot of people I know that are in that camp are definitely very single.
Exactly, because they have no worries about, you know, taking care of anybody but themselves. So with that, I salute you guys. Keep going. Keep fighting the good fight. But like what I'm saying is I'm just looking where our leaders are going, right? I'm talking about these seasoned developers that are really good, that are really knowledgeable, that understand game development from the front to back. They're going to these tech giants. If given a choice, which they are given, most of them, if not all, have migrated to these tech companies, these safe havens for game developers, I call them. And with that, they take the knowledge and innovation with them. So that's why I say the innovations aren't with Rockstar it isn't with Sony or Microsoft. It's at these places that are fattening you up and keeping you happy. And you can basically have that 20, 30 years till retirement, and kind of plan ahead and don't have to play that. Well, I mean, it still gets political, I'm sure, but like to a point where everyone is relatively still happy, right? Where it's like, yeah, it's fine. So yeah, I can look at my bank account and say, oh, I'm fine.
I mean, I think anywhere you go, people are going to be bitter or salty about something.
Sure.
But yeah, like when it comes to video game industry versus tech giant, it's definitely,
there's no contest.
It's a way more chill environment.
Way more chill. And I think because of the non-stress of where the money is coming from, right? For Amazon, no one's depending on the game department to generate money for that company, right? It's like the extra money is going to those game companies to make something, to bank on something, like you said, innovative. Facebook, the future of Facebook is now in the hands of game developers. Like, think of that, man. How crazy is that? Right. Insane.
Good luck with that.
Good luck with that, right? You have no idea what we've been doing. We've been fucking around. But like, it's true. Like, Facebook... Yeah. Sees itself as a dinosaur. You know, they have the data way before we even found out, right? They know where it's going, and they see VR as a way to kind of you know, the next extension, right? 2.0 of Facebook, right?
I mean, yeah, I wouldn't just say VR, but we're talking VR and AR,
anything, right? That heightens the social experience, right? That's with AR, VR, right?
This is the immersion.
Right. Amazon, yes, they're not depending on games being their future, but they see it as a huge, huge part of it, right? You know, they just released their little robot, right?
I don't know what Amazon's doing with games.
Well, think about it, right? They're all their stuff will require, you know, game is a very, a loose term. I guess I'm using it right. You're kind of insinuating that with what you're doing over at Unity, where it's about where there our medium is beyond our own now, right? It's all about interactivity and instant feedback, right? So that's in essence what game is.
Yeah, Unity is about tools to power like a real-time 3D platform. Like,
right. And real-time is everything in the future. People want instant feedback. People don't want to wait. And I see, this is where I see tech giants like Amazon, Facebook, and Google see where games and its tools and its knowledge is going to help power its future in the business, right? Being able to virtualize things on the go will inherently helps, you know, encapsulate more audience, more customers, sell more things, basically, in every way possible. You know, Amazon kind of released that little interactive dog. To me, that's just a game. That's, you know, that little dog that follows you around to replace, you know, it's actually a robot.
But you see that as a game, and other people see that as like the end of the world, right?
Yeah, but well, that's what the Matrix is, right? Matrix is basically started as a game. It's a simulation, right? But all that are I would say a lot of game tech, right? That's a lot of game thinking to create those things, and that's where I see the innovation going. I see game is going to be a very if not already on its way out in terms of terminology, how we define ourselves as developers, right? I can see us in a lot of ways referring ourselves as real-time experts, right? Instead of game developers already, right? In the last couple of 5 years, I think that terminology has been kind of closely kind of reflecting what we do now. And, in a way, I'm excited. It's cool. I think, yes, the tech giants are a little bit more financially responsible. It's something I always look up.
I wouldn't say financially responsible. They just got more of it.
I think they're more financially responsible. Like I would say, like for a long time, I looked up to mobile because they actually put profitability at the forefront before making any decision. In a lot of ways, creatively, that's frustrating. But in the end, it's like, well, you're securing our livelihood. So I can't hate you for that. Because AAA, if anything, is really irresponsible with financial planning, right? It's like, well, we'll do what we can and we'll see if it's a hit. It's like the most craziest gamble that I can't believe we're still working that way in a lot of studios.
I think it's still a gamble, yes, but I think part of the reason why the conditions are so terrible is because they're trying to save money.
Yeah, when you try winning something by playing safe, dude. This is like, yeah.
Crunch exists because you're trying to get more stuff done in a certain amount of time to save money.
Yeah,
right. Because you're not going to pay the people to crunch, right? And you're going to get more work out of them, get more productivity in the same amount of time, yeah. Right? So, it's like for me, a lot of the decisions are about saving money and trying to do it on the cheapest possible dime possible. You know?
Yeah. And a good percentage of those studios that worked that way ended up closing and shutting down because their product never really made it to market, or it wasn't even worth it.
But also, now it's getting to the point where it has to reach a lot of people because you have to compete, get the eyeballs. Yeah. So you have to spend more money to compete, get more eyeballs,
a bad model.
Get a higher quality product.
It's the biggest gamble.
It's a never ending arms race, basically.
Right. So I think because of the games kind of that are doing well, that are taking a page out of mobile, is basically adopting the best thing that we can do, which is data-driven, proven things as early as possible, and then creating and designing towards a customer that you define at the very beginning of development, right? And knowing that it works and only buying in because you know it works.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Which is the base model for all mobile games. It's just like, we don't do anything unless we know it works. And because of that, a lot of AAA games are benefiting from the free-to-play, from virtualization of items, cosmetics, learning from not doing pay-to-win. Designers basically have more systems around that and treating it seriously. Like, I'm finally, you know, it's cool. But again, where we're at that state where, you know, games are getting bigger and bigger in terms of budget. We still have that inherent AAA issue that we've always been dealing with. I'm just glad that these tech giants are not doing that, right? In a way, yes, we made fun of Stadia, cutting things short. I mean, and realizing
I'm still making this fun of Stadia. I'm actually surprised you're not talking. Actually, there was a bit of news that came out about Stadia.
What about Stadia? I can't believe it's still up. I thought it was like two guys left working there.
There's a new Batman game that is going to be the first game to be powered by
Gotham.
Yeah, Batman Arkham Knight is going to be the first game to be powered by the white label Stadia streaming.
The white label.
Yeah, so basically Warner Brothers is licensing Stadia technology. Right. So it's not Stadia, but it's going to be Warner Brothers and AT&T.
But this is a game that's like 5 years old though, right? They're just giving a back end library to test it with.
Still
a good game.
Yeah. But I mean, they're basically using the Stadia technology, but it's not actually Google doing the hosting, right?
Yeah, Google's out of the game.
Yeah, yeah.
Whoever's doing it are just suckers at this point.
Yeah, yeah.
So these are just old deals that are coming to light, right? These are just
Well, this is the new white label thing. Like when Stadia said we're not going to make games anymore, and we're moving away from that, they moved towards more of a platform model, and so this is the first game using that new model, which is like that's interesting, I guess. You know what I mean?
I mean, the technology is there. Like, I don't think we doubt that Google can handle this. I wish they just thought it through better. This is where, again, I respect Amazon versus Google. Like, Google as a brand is wearing down for me a bit. Like, I don't trust them. Like, I'm a Pixel guy, right? I have their Pixel phones.
And the new suppose
Pixel. Their new Pixel is the best of the best for now, right? I get it. But there is always that worry. Is like, is this their last shot? Are they going to be out of it after this? If this doesn't work, right? That's like they're throwing the whole kitchen sink at it, right?
But I mean,
if
like,
this doesn't work, they're going to bail.
The worst case is you just go get a different phone. Like, I mean, like, it's not that bad.
But this hurts their brand. Like,
does it though?
I feel like it does, dude. Like, what products am I going to trust, right?
Meanwhile, Gmail account and Google Drive and
sure,
you know what
yeah,
I mean.
But like anything, yeah. If they retire the new shit game, right? Where don't worry, we'll be the Coca-Cola for life brand, right? You can always rely on Coke from us. Then fine, know your role, accept it, and stop coming up with this alphabet shit that never goes and falls through. Annoying.
Any company needs to diversify and do new products in order to keep growing. Yeah.
Well, but how does this help their growth? Like, to me, if I'm an investor, like, am I going to trust in their growth anymore? It's like, dude, no.
Like, hey, we have money. We're going to invest into research and figure things out. And like, and of course, some bets fail.
What bets lately worked?
And some bets...
It's their bets, Pixel. Win, right? I thought their Pixel was doing better than I thought, but no, it's not. It's like they're breaking even with that thing in a lot of ways. Like, I was surprised to kind of read more about how their Pixel phones are doing, and it is good by like in terms of a new phone standard, but like Samsung and all Apple are still king, and they're not anywhere near there. Mm-hmm. Like, what things have they come out in the last 5-10 years? Like, I'm so, that's why I'm like when I talk about tech giants and the evolution and what the new decade looks like for us, I'm barely including Google in that conversation. Oh, like, what does Google have to offer?
I think that would be foolhardy to do that.
what exactly Google is going to come out with that I'm going to be, oh, this might be something for
Google. Here's the thing about Google, though, right? It's not about that, right? It's not about like, here's a product. Like, of course, yeah, they're product, they're Pixel phone, they got all that stuff, right? But it's really the platform itself.
Yeah, their brand.
Not just their brand, the platform itself, right? Like GCP, the cloud stuff, like Google Drive, Gmail, like the stuff that rests on top, like the backbone of everything, is their platform, right? Sure. And that is not going anywhere.
No, they're like I said, you can be the Mars bars and be just fine, right? But you don't see them coming out with the stupid new candy that doesn't work. You know what I mean? This is what I mean. It's like, I feel like they're slowly falling into that role of, yeah, you can depend on us for Gmail, Google Map. But any new stuff that would come out, this is this stupid rebranding that Facebook's going to do, right? That they did years ago with Alphabet. It's like, all right. You know, I'm sure they have this stupid Google car somewhere back there that they're working on. But as a customer, I don't trust any of it now. It's like, how can I trust you guys in innovation if you guys don't even commit to it to an extent, right? So they're out of the conversation. To me, Google's dead. I will buy their next Pixel phone because, mine broke. But other than that, this is what I'm like, the Nest, the What's their version of the Google Hub, the little voice thing? Siri.
Sure. Yeah.
Google Siri. Assistant. Yeah. The Google Assistant stuff. I felt like they were one of the first ones to come out with that idea, right? There where Apple kind of missed the boat. Like, why is Amazon coming out with like a robot pet? Right? Shouldn't Apple and Google be the first ones out the gate with that stuff? Like, it's very odd to me. Like, how is Amazon the only one that is still innovating? Right? I this last pandemic, man. Like, Amazon.
Is it surprising that Apple? Is it surprising that Apple's not innovating? Is it really surprising?
Well, Apple used to be the leader. You know. Yes, Jobs are gone. Yeah, Steve Jobs like, gone.
I mean people have complained about Apple not innovating for years now, right? Like,
yeah,
you know.
But how? But what Apple's a missed opportunity.
Money. They're still making money hand over fist, though.
For now, right? They're still living off the legacy of Steve Jobs, but after a number of years, how much? I guess they'll be fine. But like, I'm just disappointed. Like the people, if I were to bet 5 years ago, right? This is where I'm coming at. If I were 5 years ago, 10 years ago, whatever, and you were going to ask me in the next 10 years, who's going to be the most innovative? I wouldn't have thought Amazon. I would have thought Google or Apple, right? They seem to be the clear, that's their space. They would be coming up with this Alexa stuff first and kill it with that. The robot, right? Seems to be the thing. Their car, right? I mean, I know Apple's still working on their car, but like by this point, you know, what's the next big thing? And it seems to be Amazon constantly being the ones doing it. And that's why for me, yes, Facebook is exciting and they hired a bunch of our friends and we know there's a lot of talented people out there. But, you know, and Amazon is the laughing stock of the game industry with, you know, buying the CryEngine and all this stuff. But with this new dawn, this new world thing, I'm beginning to think maybe Amazon's going to be the one that beats the pack because they're so dedicated. They're so committed to failure that... If they can see through that and come out with new world, it's like, oh, wow, it might be interesting in the next 10 years. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if Amazon just comes out of the gate, out of the blue, with a new VR system that beats Oculus. I wouldn't be surprised. You don't think they're working on something that's AR related? They're so fast with this. This is why I think this way. Every time I drive.
I'm just like, you talk, man. I'm just like.
Every time I drive outside, I see an Amazon truck in rows, dude. I was like, wow, they have taken over the world.
Well, like they've taken over the world of bringing stuff to your house, right? But like when you're talking about, when you talk about innovation and stuff like that, I don't know. Like, I just don't know. Like when it comes to the consumer electronics part of it, like I'm not impressed, put it that way. Not impressed at all.
That robot.
And I think we're talking about like a robot that will evade your privacy and send data to Amazon. Exactly.
Yeah, they're the first ones to do it. That's what I'm saying.
But we're not out here talking about, you know, Microsoft's hardware and
who's talking about Microsoft? What has Microsoft released?
Microsoft's been making some strides, though. You know,
they're catching up.
Right? And the one thing I noticed too, right, is when Microsoft and Google do like a device show or do their little presentations, how much those presentations are like out of the Apple playbook, right? So Apple's a setup like this is how you present new hardware to people.
Yeah.
And then like Microsoft and Google are falling straight in
line. Are always copycatting.
Falling the same
But this is what I'm saying.
Like, honestly, the race is between those three, man. Like Amazon,
this is what I'm saying though. Like if Apple was the innovator. And Microsoft and Google still following suit, right? They follow basically whatever products Apple does. They copy and make their own version, right? That's their model. That's their business model, right? Wait and see, right? I'll wait and see and I'll do something. Amazon
Google's out of... had the better phone software. Like they're usually ahead of Apple on the phone software features and stuff.
Sure. But they're copying, right? They're just copying each other. But this is where I see Amazon being special, where... this robot is a great example. Out of the blue, out of nowhere. Maybe it was a rumor, right? It is a product. That robot is a consumer prototype, sure. I don't know if it's going to sell like crazy, right? I was kind of hesitant on Alexa, but Alexa's killing right now, right? I'm not a huge Alexa fan. I'm not a huge supporter of those devices just kind of sitting around. I do have an Alexa, but it was gifted, right? Let's just say that. But this robot is like, I don't want a robot, but I'm just saying, yeah, this would be the next step. Like, this is the next step. And I can see, based on it doing well or not, that Apple, again, will copy and Google will copy. So who's copying who at this point? And I think it's an Amazon lead in the pack. Yeah. I mean,
Ain't nobody buying it.
Well, let me just say this. Like, Facebook is not making gains that I'm talking about right now. Like, Apple is not really making any gains that I'm talking about. Like, Amazon is the one that I'm the number one hater of Amazon, and I'm not a huge fan of New World. It's not like I'm jumping on that ship just yet. But I'm just saying that they have so much money, if not, you know, the same amount of money to play with in the gaming space.
Yeah.
And they did really well 2020, and they're building factories and they're growing to the point where Bezos is like, I'm done. I did everything that I could. He doesn't want to play anymore.
I'm surprised you're not mentioning their new studio. Like, they, you know, Amazon, they have a studio in Montreal, the new studio.
Yeah, they're expanding their gaming. You know, I respect any company that failed for 10 years and stuck with it, right? I was like, all right, maybe this shows grit. That's what we call a veteran, right? So by now they're like a comparable AAA studio.
Definitely shows perseverance and grit for sure. Yeah.
Yes, and now in the other space, in the tech space, the robot stuff, I was like, wow, this company really wants to guess and innovate.
Own your life, yeah.
Own your life, the next level, right? Right. I respect it's that.
What's killing me is that you just repeat a crazy thing that I say, deadpan serious, like, and are happy about it. I'm just like, I don't understand.
No, I mean, obviously, right? It's all about advertising and about knowing your life and then being able to sell shit to you, right? We already accepted that. What I'm saying is that you're showing me the next level stuff, and wow, that is. That is crazy, and I respect that because that's the game they're playing right now. I'm just looking at the other guys who wants my data as lazy. It's like, you guys are being lazy right now. Like, if I were to sell my life, it's Amazon. Amazon is working its hardest to get this robot into my room, right? They're working extra hard to sell shit to me. I can respect that, right? It's the effort here. And yeah, like, look at the 2020, right? Yes, we're kind of clapping our hands together saying Apple. Wow, Apple, you know, to me, is living off the ghosts of Steve Jobs still, right? All the things, all the success that they've seen is basically innovated from this one man that has passed away, right? Nothing else have been generating money newly, really, right? We're talking about the App Store. That's Steve Jobs, right? We're talking about the iPhone, Steve Jobs. And we're talking about all this stuff. Steve Jobs.
I would say that M1 chip, M1 Pro Max or whatever, M1 Max. Okay. I would say that's probably like the era of not Steve Jobs, and it might actually work out.
Can you explain that to our non-nerds out there?
Well, non-nerds, you don't have to be a non-nerd. Like, you know, Apple started making their own chips.
Right. And instead of using the Intel chips.
Even in the iPhone, right? The iPhone was imagination and ARM.
Yeah, and that's why Google is following suit. They're copying with their own chip as well.
Yeah, and so Apple's like, you know, like, we want to own the software stack. The hardware stack, everything. And so they started making their own chips.
Well, that's the Steve Jobs ideology, right? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but I think they didn't really start putting that in motion until after he was dead. Right. And then when the chip has been proven to be successful in the iPhone, they are now making
for the laptops.
There's M1 MacBook Air. right? Which came out last year. And then they just announced the M1 Max, M1 Pro.
And they're ridiculously fast and good.
And they're like if those numbers that they're talking about are even remotely accurate, those are some, that's a dope
bizarre laptop. Numbers. Yeah.
It's a dope laptop, right? So
it's a huge
evolution. And it's solely, and it's going to take the battle to Intel and NVIDIA and be like, what's up?
What are you going to do?
And that's good for consumers, right? Because like, yeah, that might just mean then that now
laptop, well, that gaming is the next level stuff.
Yeah. Well, laptop CPU and GPU everything. Prices also will come down, right? Yeah. And it will be like a stranglehold of Intel and NVIDIA, right?
Yeah.
And Apple's been slowly working towards this, right? Like from when they made the first, when they started changing the SoC on the phone. The SoC stands for system on a chip. It's like the chip that's on the phone.
Yeah.
When they started making their own version of that.
Yeah.
This was the goal. Like, can we completely replace the CPUs that we use at the laptop level? And then more money goes into Tim Cook's pocket at the
right.
same time.
Right? Yeah. So less cut.
Yeah.
It's cool. I get it. I respect Apple to an extent. But where's my robot? You laugh at it, man, but robot is freaking, when I saw that, and then I know when the first release will be shit, it won't be anything close to,
but you're the same dude that sees the Steam Deck and was like, yo, let me buy that. So I guess you just impressed by anything these days.
I'm gonna lay it out when we do our 2029 Game Dev Unchained roundtable, right? We're gonna talk about wow, Amazon really stepped it up this last decade, right? left Facebook and Apple in the dust.
Man, I don't know about that at all. Really. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, but we'll see. Maybe, well, maybe that's something right. to look forward yeah. to. Yeah. Just wait, man. If Amazon was this strong with 10 years of failure, right? And they had this strong of ego. Imagine with a little success of New World. It's like how big and tall are they standing now?
You're making the biggest leap too. You know, you're like, oh, New World is kind of successful, so therefore now they're a tech juggernaut.
Bro, I think they have some hardwares that they've been working on that haven't been unveiled. I just see Amazon just spinning circles in terms of speed and delivery. They got that down, dude. That's their business model. It's like, how fast do you want it? We got you. Well, anyways. As always, it was good talking to you, Ray. I know this was mostly about just understanding what the next decade looks like since 2020 didn't count. And I do see like a lot of conclusions of the last decade. Yeah. With the Epic versus Apple thing, I think it is a major mark in our history there.
Sure.
And yeah. I'm very excited, you know, that more and more players are being involved. Overall, this is great. It's a great time to be a game developer, obviously, and a great time to be a consumer. There's just so much content that can be enjoyed in many different ways, and it's overall either Amazon, Apple, or whoever wins, it's a win for us all, really. It's like, cool, man.
Yeah.
Buy my shit, love it. So that concludes today's episode. As always, Ray, where can the good people kind of tweet at you, find you, let them know?
You already know on Twitter. It's Wadaras, WADARASS on Twitter. That's how you can get to me.
All right, there you go. As always, you can find that in the link description below. Tweet at us. Let us know your thoughts. Any disagreeing, agreeing, corrections, we welcome it. And overall, we look forward to bringing you guys next month's episode. So see you guys. Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you are liking the podcast, go to the Apple iTunes store and give Game Dev Unchained a 5-star rating. This will help spread the joy and love and exposure for the podcast, and we thank you very much. If you want to continue the conversation, go to our Discord, which can be found on our website, www.gamedevunchained.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at BlueChamps, BlueChamps. You want to catch these episodes live every Tuesdays and Thursdays, go to twitch.tv/blue_champs. Email me any of your concerns or questions that you want me to read aloud at the beginning of each episode at info@gamedevunchained.com. And if you want to further support us and help unlock the next feature, which is the voicemail feature, go to patreon.com/BlueChamps. This gives listeners a chance to kind of call in, leave a message for both me and the guests to answer your deepest, darkest questions and comment on your deepest, darkest secrets. Thank you, everybody.